Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the reunion tour is over, Donnie. I do. It's kind of sad. I feel bad saying that, but I mean, I think Kutch is going to look for more of a regular role, and I think the Pirates can't afford to pay a DH who didn't really produce all that much last season, $5 million. I took Ben Charrington coming back as Andrew McCutchen not coming back.
Good morning, Pittsburgh. That was new, old Steelers beat writer Jason Mackey. And by Steelers, I mean Pirates. I've already screwed up this morning. People also texting in that I forgot to buy you guys gifts, and that's why I'm going to give you Guinness pint glasses, and that's 100% true.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 100%.
I should have walked in here on Wednesday with pint glasses and just told you I bought them in Ireland.
100%, and yeah. We would have believed you.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't even have said anything today. You should have just brought it in on Monday.
That's right.
Can I tell you just real quick, I'm not the most thoughtful person, and I don't really do the gifts thing, and I acknowledge that. But at least I don't try to pretend.
Right.
Like
correct.
I thought about you guys.
Correct.
I own it, right? You sit here like, oh, I thought about you. Yeah. Take these used bike glasses.
And I was to say to you, whenever you were in Ireland, I was like, you didn't buy me anything. And you're like, that's right. Remember when you were on the YouTube stream?
I do remember that, yeah. So that was new, old Pirates beat writer Jason Mackey saying that the Andrew McCutchen reunion tour, it is over in his mind. It is done. He's not coming back. Now, important context, that was aggregated and posted by a Pirates blog on the Twitter.com to which Andrew McCutchen replied and said, LOL. So maybe Andrew McCutchen is coming back. But I think this is one of the rare moments in life where there should be the washing of the hands. There should be an amicable split. The Pirates should be looking to get younger. The Pirates should be looking for more position flexibility out of someone to play the DH role. And Andrew McCutchen, he should go to a place where he's got a chance to do something he's never done before. And that's win a World Series. And if you're the 26th man on the roster and you provide leadership and you play 95 to 110 games and you do it for $5 million and you do it on a contender, I think we could all root for Andrew McCutchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think that he's worth bringing back anymore. When they brought him here, it was about nostalgia, but the guy could still play. And he's not a bad player now, but he is, according to OPS Plus, below league average. He had the third highest OPS on the team, but it was at 700, and he can't play any other positions. Like he did early in the season out of necessity, but he gives you no position flexibility. I love Andrew McCutchen. Everybody loves Andrew McCutchen. He should be in the Pirates Ring of Honor immediately. He's going to be a Hall of Fame adjacent player at worst. But I think it's time to say goodbye to good old number 22. What say you?
I just don't have faith that they're going to go out and get a legit DH. I think they're just going to move Joey Bart there, and then we're going to look back and be like, why didn't we bring McCutchen back to just do what Joey Bart does? Joey Bart, that's what they're going to do. They're not going to go and pay somebody over $5 million or use that money from Andrew McCutchen to go get a legit designated hitter.
Well, are you ready for the hot take now that is associated with this topic for me?
Yes, real quick, though. Mm-hmm. I think that this goes above Charrington, though. I think that this is absolutely 1,000% a Bob Nutting call. I think that Cherington has nothing to do with if Andrew McCutchen comes back or not. Nothing to do with it.
That is what I would also have disagreed with Jason about. And we'll have Jason on today at 9:15. He'll be with us for most of the 9 o'clock hour. Ben Cherington's not the guy who got Andrew McCutchen here in the first place.
Right.
Andrew McCutchen talked on the record here on 93.7 The Fan, as I burp into the microphone, Dublin, about meeting with Bob Nutting, about having the conversation, about answering the phone, and his wife being like, yo, we got to go back to Pittsburgh.
I bet you could count on two hands how many conversations Andrew McCutchen has had with Ben Cherington. I bet you he doesn't even... What's the point? Like, I bet you he's never even had legit conversations with him in the last 6-7 months.
Maybe they get into an elevator at the same time.
That's it.
Hey, Ben, how's your
family?
What
does he have to say to him?
Yeah.
What are they going to talk about? I bet you he doesn't even talk to him.
I don't know this for a fact, but Ben doesn't give off the impression of the guy who's around the clubhouse all that much.
Right.
I could be totally wrong on that. That's a total guess.
I think he stays upstairs.
Yeah. I think so, too. Because I think Donnie Kelly's got a pretty good pulse of the team. And with Gene Lamont around, I don't know that those big-time baseball guys want Mr. Analytic down there. Mr. Ivy League. But again, I could be projecting. Here's my hot take. If I could have Andrew McCutchen or Tommy Pham back, and I had to have one of them back for next year, I'm taking Tommy Pham.
You're taking Tommy Pham of this past year.
Yeah, who knows what he would turn right into. But at the same time, is Andrew McCutchen, who took a step back this year, going to take a further step back next year as well?
I have more faith in him doing that than Tommy Pham staying the way he did this year.
Okay. They had exactly the same numbers. 700 OPS, 95 OPS plus, which means both players were 5% below league average relative to their position. The difference is Tommy Pham played an outstanding left field.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is crazy. He was a very good defensive player for the Pirates this year. And because of that flexibility, if I had to have one of the guys, I think I would have Tommy. I really do. But you're right. Neither one of them is a sure bet. Neither one of them is young. And the Pirates should be swimming in deeper waters than, hey, what are we going to do at DH/left field? Oh, let's bring Tommy Pham or Andrew McCutchen back. Like, it should probably be, in their eyes, Cutch or neither of them, right?
Yeah.
I think Tommy Pham would come cheaper.
What did he get paid this year?
What was it, two?
Two something.
Two and a half?
Yeah.
In that range? And Andrew McCutchen was five?
But is that what, like, that's...
Well, they said they're not going to swim in the deep waters of free agency.
I know.
This sucks, Ron. Because as we expand on this topic here, so should the Pirates bring Cutch back, 412-928-9370, and we're going to do a lot of NFL, a lot of Steelers stuff today, but we'll start with the Buccos. Again, at 412-928-9370, would you bring Cutch back? If you don't, and you don't bring Tommy Pham back, who the hell is in your lineup? Seriously, you go position by position, first base Spencer Horowitz, who wound up being pretty good. I'll give Ben Cherington credit for that. Yeah, he wound up being pretty good.
He was the best player this year.
He was, and he didn't get caught up in a gambling scandal like Luis Ortiz did.
Yeah, true.
What a strange year. Can you imagine if Luis Ortiz just real quick was a Pirate?
And that happened. Oh, I mean, just add it to the list.
And then the guy that fell off the Clemente wall who threw out a first pitch, didn't he get arrested the other day?
Yeah, he got in trouble.
Yeah. So Spencer Horowitz is going to be your first baseman. Nick Gonzalez is going to be your second baseman. Jared Triolo, as you've said, is going to play short and third.
Third stop.
He's going to play third stop. Your left fielder is a question mark. Is it going to be Billy Cook? And I'm asking seriously, are they going to try Jack Sawinski again?
Probably.
Can we do the Jack Sawinski redux again? Center fielder, definitely going to be O'Neill Cruz. Catcher is going to be Rafael Flores, and Henry Davis will be the personal catcher for Paul Skeens. And Andy Rodriguez may or may not ever play baseball again, but they're going to try to get him back. That guy's always hurt. And then your designated hitter is a big question mark. So really, you've got five out of the nine, and even the five that you write in, you're probably writing in pencil. They've got a lot of work to do this offseason.
Man. Because I was just even like, okay, like who could be where, like for real, like out of the spots that they don't have anybody? Like I could see them rolling out the first game of the year, Triolo at third and Peguero at short.
Oh, my God.
But them saying like, oh, we're waiting for to bring up Connor Griffin because he's going to be ready.
That is the one place where a placeholder is fairly acceptable. Because you're not going to have a 12-year-old start the season at shortstop. And, of course, I'm referring to the number one prospect in all of baseball, Connor Griffin.
Right.
I don't think you'll see him until June at the earliest, but we can talk to Mackey about that. I mean, that to me is still fast-tracking him.
Very.
And you don't want to screw up his development. I do think there needs to be an element of patience there. And I know it's tough because, my God, we've been rebuilding for 9 years! But if they have a placeholder there, I think you can live with that. And maybe Triolo is that guy and you go out and you buy a third baseman. I don't know.
Don't know.
But to do, and you're not willing to spend a lot of money, and I don't think you're willing to spend or to trade young pitching prospects, which leads you to one place, which is Mitch Keller moving off of him. But all the reporting at the deadline was he's not viewed as the third starter the Pirates think he is. He's viewed as more of an expensive fourth or fifth starter, which you can buy those guys on the open market for a lot cheaper than Mitch Keller's going to cost. Crap! It's a bad place to be, says Captain Obvious. And it's very frustrating because we watched a rookie pitcher for the Yankees yesterday mow down 12 Red Sox, throwing 100 miles per hour, and I couldn't get it out of my head. God, what do you think Paul Skeens would be doing right now? You watch game one of the Tigers-Guardians, and Tariq Skubal goes 7 2/3 innings. He strikes out 14 guards. That's the AL equivalent-ish of Paul Skeens. And we, as Pirates fans, deserve to watch Paul Skeens pitch in the postseason. Paul Skeens deserves to pitch in the postseason, but right now, they'd be running out of lineup of five guys!
Yep.
By the way, real quick, because we like Cleveland's pain, how about the Guardians being 15 and a half games back with a 0.4% chance of making the playoffs? They hunt down the Tigers, only to lose in heartbreaking fashion in a winner-take-all Game 3. So Tigers fans get tortured. Oh, my God, here come the Guardians. Objects in the rear view are closer than they appear. And then they wind up beating them anyhow.
Right.
And Guardians fans, they get all excited. They get all hot and bothered. They're all 6 to midnight. And then they ultimately, they probably just shouldn't have teased their fans that way. Ah, well, Cleveland.
At least they're at the table.
Yeah, what am I doing?
I mean, consistently, too. Not just like, you know, one-offs. They're there.
Yeah, I don't have a leg to stand on here.
They're there all the time.
Ha, ha, ha. Let's all laugh at the team that's had winning seasons in 10 out of the last 13 years. Coming up next, should the Buccos trade Mitch Keller? What could they reasonably get for him? Bottom of the hour, a Steelers question.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the Keller trade is inevitable, not because I don't think Keller's good. It'd be great to have him head this rotation with Skeens and have the two veteran guys there. It would be a luxury to do that. I just feel like contract-wise, where they are-wise, he's the trade they got to make. He has a big value attached to him, and it's just like they can't mess this one up because if they mess this up, no matter who they get in free agency, it's probably not going to be enough.
That's our old pal Matt Clement. He was on with the PM guys this week, saying he thinks a Mitch Keller trade is inevitable, a security company. Clement might be right. However, what are you going to get for the guy? I think there's value to Mitch Keller. He eats innings. He's a professional. He's a good. But he's going to make $17 million next season. And guys, it happened again. It happened again. After the All-Star break, his ERA was 5.65. That's three consecutive years where the first half of the season he pitches like an All-Star, and the second half of the season he pitches like the Mitch Keller of old. And I don't know. I don't think it's a velocity thing, like a fatigue thing. I don't know how to explain it. I'm sure he doesn't know how to explain it. If he knew what was up, if he knew how to fix it, then I'm sure he would have fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
He's got so many pitches. He throws six quality pitches. I don't think it's that the league gets a book on him in the second half of the season. I don't know what it is, but that's who he is. And so you could trade him to get $17 million off the books, and then in an ideal world, use that $17 million to go out and buy a free agent hitter. But I don't think the return you would get in a Mitch Keller trade is one that would get Pirates fans' hearts palpitating. Like, I don't think you would get a player who's going to hit you 25 to 30 bombs. I don't think you're going to get a hitter that's going to be an 800 OPS guy that comes in and is one of your top two or three hitters. I just don't know how realistic that is.
Wouldn't we have saw it at the trade deadline if there was a significant return?
I think so, man.
I think that's the story right there.
The Cubs reportedly wanted him. There were a couple of other teams that were interested, but the asking price was really high, as it should have been for Ben Cherington. Teams weren't willing to go there. Teams that fancy themselves World Series contenders that are still playing right now, like the Cubs are, said, nah,
yeah,
we'll pass.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to find something else. And those are teams that spend money. The Chicago Cubs take on an extra $17 million. Who cares?
Nothing.
They're selling out Wrigley Field every day. So I said last year I thought trading Mitch Keller would have been the right thing to do because there's value there. But now it's three consecutive seasons of a second-half collapse for the guy. And you can find value on the open market if you're a team looking for starting pitching help. You can go buy a guy that's going to be better in the second half of the season than a 5.65 ERA that's going to cost you less than $17 million. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Would you consider trading O'Neill Cruz?
I mean, we already talked about how many holes they have in the roster, basically.
I'm with you.
So it's like, you trade him, you get what? And are you going to get a legit center fielder plus something else?
Right.
No, probably not.
I am not super confident that O'Neill Cruz ever lives up to his potential. But if he does, I mean, he stole 36 bags this year, he hit 20 homers. If he ever becomes that 30-40 guy that we know is in there, the Pirates can't afford to spend that on the open market or refuse to spend that on the open market. You need to bet on him having a good season next year.
Mm-hmm.
The most value he can add to you is reaching or scratching the surface of his potential. Because if you trade him, you're not going to get a guy that's ultimately going to hit 30 homers and steal 40 bases. And really, next year is the only year that matters. You have a looming lockout in 2027. You need to get good fast. And if you trade O'Neill Cruz, are you going to get an established player? No. Ben Cherington says he's not even looking for established players. Harry's got a list of free agents that could interest the Pirates. And we've already said they have a hole at short or third. They have a hole in left field. They have a hole at DH. So what do you got?
Well, I did want to mention this is hilarious. Yeah, Austin Hedges, right now his market value for spot track is $884,000. So if they did want to not use Joey Bart, he's on the market. But in terms of infielders,
I'll tell you what, I hate to say this because Austin Hedges, God bless him, next year with the automatic balls and strikes, his value goes way down.
Yeah.
Because the pitch framing just isn't going to matter as much. Sorry, Harry, go ahead.
No, you're good. So Jose Iglesias, he's on the market. Coming off a $3 million contract, his market value right now, $1.4
million. What position?
He's a shortstop. Once great with the Tigers and has since bounced around several teams because he is on the wrong side of 30.
He hit 229 with three homers and 36 ribs this year. Who else you got?
Paul DeJong used to be spectacular with the St. Louis Cardinals. He has since fallen off. He's bounced around a few teams. Coming off a $1 million contract, right now SpotTrack has his value at $789,000.
228 with six homers and 23 ribs.
And I do just want to make sure, too, these are all guys that you're probably going to get on one-year deals.
Well, Ben Charrington hasn't given a hitter longer than a one-year deal.
Orlando Arcia, shortstop. $760,000 with the Rockies this past year. His market value is $1.6 million. So very affordable.
It is affordable because he hit 203 in 62 games.
Now, the Pirates won a power bat, right? Perhaps an outfielder?
Oh, give me a power bat.
Joey Gallo is still an unrestricted free agent.
Oh, my God.
Yes. He's out there. You want your power left-handed bat?
I thought he was retiring.
He might be, but right now it says he's a free agent. I didn't see anything that said.
Anybody interested in a guy who hit 161 with 10 homers and 27 RBI?
Hey, the Dodgers wanted him a couple years ago, so keep that in mind. They had him on the team. And now we want somebody. Let's say McCutcheon doesn't come back.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you want a guy you can get for around his contract, a familiar face. Starling Marte is coming off of his contract with the Mets this season. And his market value is $7.7 million.
I would actually welcome that.
Yes. He actually had a decent season.
He did. And by decent season, we mean he had exactly the same wins above replacement number as Tommy Pham.
Mm.
But he hit 270 with a 7.45 OPS. He was better. He's still, I think, a pretty good defender, and he's got a strong arm. Mm-hmm. Sure, why not?
On the wrong side of 30, though, too.
Hey, I mean, listen, if Andrew McCutcheon's walking out the door and you're trying to pull up the nostalgia heartstrings, let's go for a good old Starling Marte. What's Gregory Polanco up to?
Right.
I think he's
He was in Japan.
He's in an international league. Yeah.
I think he was playing in Japan. Oh, man.
Yeah, he's not. I don't think he signed with a major league team.
Can I ask you a question that I think is an important one?
Okay.
Are there any good free agents available?
Well, there are. I mean, so you got Reese Hoskins is coming off. Oh, he's got a mutual option with the Brewers. Let's see. Pete Alonso is an unrestricted free agent.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan Montgomery, a pitcher, unrestricted free agent. JT Realmuto, unrestricted free agent. Kyle Schwarber.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there's plenty. There's plenty.
Speaking of Schwarber.
Michael Conforto, Kyle Tucker, outfielders.
Did you guys see what the Phillies did? They had an intra-squad scrimmage.
What is going on?
I know. I kept seeing the highlights. I'm like, what the hell is this?
Right.
They got 31,000 people at their scrimmage. God, I wish the Pirates were good.
Well, those are my picks. Those are the ones in the Pirates.
Josh Bell, free agent?
I thought I saw him on there.
Oh, good.
But
good.
He's over $10 million per year, so I don't think the Pirates would want to afford that.
What, as a DH?
Yeah, I'm just looking at,
We're going nostalgia. I mean, you're going to lose Kutch.
Right.
Right, but we got to talk about the cost, too. Starling Marte, way more cost-efficient than Josh Bell right now on the market per spot track. But I was just looking at what contract are they coming off of, what is their market value going into the season, what's their estimated value at, and those six players are affordable to the Pirates and would make sense.
Josh Bell would have been the best player on the team this year.
No doubt. 75
OPS, he had 22 bombs.
So that's my list just based on Pirates tendencies before and market values, yes.
Why does every Pirates conversation end with me going, That was a bit during the summer, and I just did it unironically. All right, let's switch it up to a team that wins and tries to win, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. You give us a ring in the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. The Cincinnati Bengals have been outscored 76-13. In their last two games. The Steelers will also play the Browns after their bye. I think they're both must-win games. Like, non-negotiable have-to-have-ems. We'll talk about that when we return.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I knew it was bad for the Bengals the last couple of weeks. Then I saw a tweet that they've been outscored 76-13. Their offensive line sucks. That's why Joe Burrow is hurt. Ja'Marr Chase and Zach Taylor were screaming at each other on the sideline during that Broncos game. And the wheels have just totally fallen off. Zach Taylor gave Jake Browning the dreaded vote of confidence. Oh, we believe in Browning. We know he can win us football games. He's been dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
And their defense sucks. Then you look at the Browns. They've been outscored by 46 points this year. Their defense at home the last few years has been really good. On the road, it's been bad. They're starting Dylan Gabriel in London. You, the Steelers, are coming off a bye. They're going to be coming off a game overseas. Doran, you can't lose either of these games.
Absolutely not.
They're must win. If you want to be taken seriously as a contender, if you want to be taken seriously as a potential AFC North division champion, you don't F around.
Mm-mm.
You don't do what you did last year and split against those guys. The Bengals did not make the playoffs last year, and you lost to them at home. The Browns, they sucked. And you lost to them and Jameis Winston on the road when you were in the driver's seat to win the AFC North. There was no excuse to lose to those teams last year. There is even less excuses to lose to these guys this year. Look at the state of the AFC North right now. You got Cooper Rush, Jake Browning, and Dylan Gabriel. If the Steelers don't win the division, and this was not the expectation coming into the year, but if they don't win the division, well, nothing will change. But heads should roll. Like, there's no excuse. You're the best team in the division. Full stop, to quote Travis Williams.
If they don't win the division, I mean, clearly, Terrell Austin would be the head that rolls, I think.
Like, he will be the goat that escaped.
Yeah, he'd be the scapegoat, for mm-hmm. sure. No, they have to take care of business. You got to take care of the games that you know that you should win, but you can't overlook a team, clearly.
Right.
Player speak right there. But they have to understand. Like, they have to understand, and I think that Arthur Smith will understand this, especially on offense and defense to that extent. Like, what have we done well? What have we done well through the first four games? We have a short week after our bye week with two games, two division games. Two backup quarterbacks, regardless. What do we do well? We establish a run game by using an extra tackle. We get the ball out quick to DK Metcalf on offense. We're going to get Jaylen Warren back, so we're gonna split carries with Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell, who has proven that he can handle a full load at the running back position. On defense, we're going to be out with Jalen. We're going to be out Jalen Ramsey. We're going to get back Joey Porter Jr. We got to bring some exotic pressures that we did against Minnesota. We got to make things look funky.
Did you almost say exotic pleasures?
No. No, I didn't. But do what you do well. This is not a time to experiment. Usually, like, if you're a really good team, like, this would be a time to experiment.
Yeah.
Against two teams that have backup quarterbacks that really aren't that good.
We're at home. It's like Cleveland.
Like Detroit this weekend. They play the Bengals, right? They're going to experiment. They're going to experiment. Hey, what else can we do with our football team? Let's experiment because we know we are so confident that we're going to win this football game. We're going to experiment. Steelers are not in that position.
Little throwback pass, maybe some wildcat, that kind of thing.
Yes.
I'm with you.
This is not the time to experiment. You go do what you think that you do well and what you have shown on tape that you do well and just run at them.
Is it too much to ask that they also impose their will on these teams?
Right.
Play an extra lineman. Like you're saying, play more Darnell Washington and blow their asses off the ball and beat them by a couple of scores. That's what everybody's doing at Cleveland, on the road at least. And Green Bay would beg to differ. That was also a weird game. Browns should probably be winless right now.
Yep.
Everyone's blown out the Bengals last 2 weeks. I mean, it ain't been close. And I know the Broncos have as good a four-man pass rush as any team in the NFL. I'm taking absolutely nothing away from Nick Bonito and those guys and what they do. But that offensive line, dude, couldn't block Callis coming off the ball, I don't think. Like, it's bad. Is it too much to ask that not only do you win the games, but that you leave no doubt? You know, there are segments happening all across this great nation on Get Up and Good Morning Football, contender or pretender. And while the Steelers, by virtue of all the injuries in the AFC North, I think are clearly an AFC North contender, I don't think anybody's taking them seriously as a Super Bowl contender. You could take a step in that direction by putting your damn foot on the throats of these teams. And it's twofold with Cincinnati, too, man. You keep beating them up, Joe Burrow might not come back and you might not have to play him the second time, which is massive.
Yes.
And also, I think if they have a terrible season this year, even with the Joe Burrow injury, you might see Zach Taylor not get retained. And that might be a good thing ultimately for Cincinnati because maybe things have gotten stale with Zach Taylor. And I don't know how great he is anyway. He hasn't won games at all without Joe Burrow. I have his record somewhere without Burrow. I'll pull it up before the next segment. But you can get him out of there, and then there's no continuity, and now they got to relearn everything next year. There's a lot at stake in these two games, but most importantly, looking in your own mirror, go take care of business and show that you're definitively a better team and get to 5-1.
Yes.
And if you do that, I think you're going to win the AFC North. And if you win the AFC North, you get a home playoff game, and it's going to be the best we've felt about their chances of winning a playoff game since what? They played Cleveland in the COVID season that doesn't count. 412-928-9370. I'm sorry to interrupt you with the exotic pleasure thing. That's more a me thing than a you. That's where more where my brain went.
Yeah.
Still feels like spring out there.
Yep.
412-928-9370. What do you need to see out of the Steelers to take them from pretender category, that pretender category, to the contender category? And can that be done in the next couple of weeks? Or is there more you need to see? 412-928-9370. And are these games must win? 412-928-9370. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. This from FS1's Jason McIntyre, who I believe is Colin Cowherd's ward. I think he lives with Colin Cowherd like Sidney Crosby did with Mario Lemieux for all those years.
Yeah, he's awful.
That's not very nice.
I don't care. He's terrible. But
do you,
go ahead.
Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Just real quick?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's very good either.
No, he's terrible.
He said, if we're being honest, the MVP for the Steelers is luck. They got lucky that the Jets fumbled that kickoff when the Jets were dominating that game. They got lucky that the Patriots had 5 turnovers. They got lucky to face Carson Wentz. Here are the quarterbacks the Steelers have beaten. Justin Fields, they lost to Sam Darnold. They beat second-year quarterback Drake May, and they beat Carson Wentz. Are the Steelers more lucky or good?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. I mean, I feel like that they had some bad luck, too, though. That's some bad luck with Caleb Johnson. The whole tip pass with the Calvin Austin and Pat Freiermuth in the end zone. I mean, they have bad luck. They have good luck. I mean, they create turnovers. Is that good luck? Is that bad luck? Or is that being in the right spot? Like, I feel like it's a little bit of both. I feel like that they can do things well and have done things well enough and appropriate enough to win football games. But also, you, the ball bounces your way sometimes. That's sports.
And that's the NFL, man.
Right, that's the NFL. Like,
you either win or you lose. Most of the games are going to come down to one score. The Steelers have won a bajillion one-score games the last 5 years. The Steelers' defense has forced a ton of turnovers the last 5 years. The Steelers have had a positive turnover differential, a significant one, the last 5 years. In a vacuum, yeah, you're not going to get 5 turnovers every week like you did against New England, but they work on it, and they're as good as any team in the league at doing it. They're as good as any team in the league have been the last 5 years at protecting the football. Those aren't fluky things to me. And when you win a majority of one-score games that you play, when the league's going to win 50% of them, it's not a fluke. Like, it's one thing if 1 year you go 8-2 in one score games, and the next year you go 5-6, and then the next year it goes up and down like a seesaw teeter-totter. That's not what it is. The Steelers win one-score games under Mike Tomlin. They just do. And you have to give Mike Tomlin credit for that. But is it lucky that you play Carson Wentz? Look at quarterback play all around the NFL.
Is it lucky that Mendenhall fumbled and Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl?
Right.
Is it lucky that Ben Roethlisberger clipped the cleat of the Colts player and they end up winning the Super Bowl that year?
It was lucky he got stabbed the night before by his girlfriend.
Like, that's ball. Like, is it lucky that Santonio Holmes got his feet down?
Right.
Like, what are we talking about?
Was it lucky they played the Cardinals, a 9-7 team in the Super Bowl? Is it lucky that Kenneth Gainwell forced that fumble?
Not really. Right.
No, he went down, he made a damn play. And I'll zoom back in a little bit more. The Steelers' defense has had 52 pressures the last 2 weeks. Guess what happens when you have 52 pressures? You're going to take the football away, and you're going to win football games. That's how the Eagles beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. That's how the Giants in 2007 beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl. You get pressure on the quarterback. I don't care what quarterback it is. I don't care if it's Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's Patrick Mahomes. I don't care if it's Joe Burrow. I don't care if it's Aaron Rodgers in his prime. You got a chance to win the football game. And if the Steelers can be the team that they've been the last 2 weeks defensively, it hasn't been perfect.
Yeah.
But particularly when it comes to rushing the passer, then no, it's not lucky. No, it's not a fluke. Now you got to keep doing it. It's been four games. You got to be consistent. But since Nick Herbig entered the lineup and since Derek Harmon's been back, does the pass rush not look the way we thought the pass rush would look?
Yes.
So yeah, there's always, always, always luck. We did a segment on this a couple of weeks ago, like the Penguins winning their championships, and there's always luck that's a part of it.
Yeah, every game. I mean, if you want to look at it out of that lens, sure. But is it creative luck? Maybe too. Like, I mean, that's just playing football.
Right.
Like, I wouldn't say a team is lucky.
No, they have looked the last 2 weeks defensively the way that we all expected them to look. It took them a little bit to warm up to it. And they've dealt with injuries, too. That's the other thing. Jalen Ramsey's now going to be out. You didn't have your starting running back against the Vikings. They don't mention that. The edge rusher that you paid on the other side of T.J. Watt, he hasn't played now.
They haven't had their starting corner. They haven't had their starting corner.
They haven't had JPJ all season. So, yeah, you're right. You could say, well, all this lucky crap. They're banged up as much as anybody not named Baltimore. Now, they're not banged up at the most important position, which is important. But I don't think that they've necessarily been lucky. Doesn't mean I think they're a Super Bowl contender. They got to show me more to believe that. This pass rush needs to show up every single week for me to think that they can even be an AFC contender. But are they a bad football team? No. I don't think they're a bad football team.
Were the Eagles lucky that the Detroit Lions got injured and didn't make a push in the playoffs last year?
No one mentions that. That was the other. Those are the two teams in that conference that were on par talent wise.
Yeah,
and no, you're right. No one talks about that. Like, Detroit may well have won the Super Bowl last year had they been healthy. Aiden Hutchinson's out. Nobody talks about that with Philly. Look how good they are. And again, I'm not saying the Steelers are these teams, and neither are you. But they're 3-1. They've earned 3-1. Like, they easily could have won the Seattle game.
Yeah.
The way that they easily could have lost the Jets game.
That's football.
That's football.
That's just football.
And are they lucky that the Patriots decided to continue to hand the ball to Ramondre Stevenson? One of the reasons why, listen, I don't think Mike Tomlin is, I think Mike Tomlin is an overrated head coach. That doesn't mean I think he's a bad head coach. But as you watch the games across the league, here's the best thing I could say about Mike Tomlin, the reason why I think he's as good as he is in one score games. There's a lot of bad coaches in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of good coaches do dumb things. We've seen it with Dan Campbell. I think Mike Vrabel's a good coach. But your dude, Ramondre Stevenson, fumbled 7 times last year. You've got a rookie on your squad that is dynamic, and you decide, no, we're not going to give him the football? It cost them the game. Like, be less dumb than the other team. And Mike Tomlin's less dumb than a lot of coaches in the NFL. But we'll jump off of Jason McIntyre. Me and Doran are huge fans of him.
Yes, very big.
Big fans of Jason McIntyre. Are the Steelers more lucky or good? 412-928-9370. A former NFL GM also says the Steelers' success is unsustainable. Do we agree with that? We'll take your calls, texts, and tweets when we return at 412-928-9370. First, Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.